I put together a business plan and a model of how they can make more money with their facility. I went to them and I said, here's how you guys could do much better than you're doing now. Here's the map. Just follow it and you'll do fine. You can have this for free, or you can bring me on and take a percentage of my earnings and not have to worry about putting this plan together because I can execute it flawlessly.
All right, guys, welcome to the Horse Trailer Post podcast. Today, we have Zachary Layden. Zachary is a military veteran turned entrepreneur in the equestrian industry, and he's the owner of Ocean View Stables. Welcome to the podcast, Zachary.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So from serving in the military to now fostering an equestrian community at Ocean View Stables, and your journey is pretty cool. Can you walk our listeners through sort of how you transitioned from military service to the world of horses?
Sure. So I was interested in horses before I went in the military, and I had very little but still some experience with horses before I joined the military. Then when I was in the military, I found opportunities to, you know, cowboy on the weekends, enjoy horses as I could. When I got out of the military, that's when my real journey began. I was going through my own journey, my own problems, really trying to reconnect and become a part of the community at home post Afghanistan and post military. And it was a struggle, and I found solace in horses. They gave me a second chance. They gave me a feeling of purpose. They brought me back to who I was prior or close to it. It was good. And there was a moment where I just decided I'm going to go all in. And I've stood up four facilities now. This is my fourth facility. And I have this motto of fail forward. I have learned a lot, and I have progressed a lot in both my horsemanship and my entrepreneurship and my leadership.
Heck yeah, man. So you started Ocean View Stables. And you mentioned you have four, so we'll talk about those because I wasn't aware of it. What moment did you say, hey, I think I just want to start this stable? What sort of clicked there?
Yeah, so that's a big journey. Where it started was when I decided that I was going to go this route of dedicating my life to horses and veterans, and trying to show veterans the healing process of horses and trying to help horses find a better way. That would happen a long time ago. And the first process was, what do I need to learn? So I went through the process of working for people for free and interning and learning what it takes to build a business. Then I looked back at, okay, what skill set do I have outside of horsemanship that I can integrate into horsemanship to build a business? And what I had was a unique skill in land navigation and hunting. And so I started off my first business more or less packing people in for hunting trips. Then my wife came into the picture. Then we went from that to doing wilderness kids camps, and that was the next evolution of the business. We were in the middle of nowhere when we were doing these, and she wanted to go closer to her family, which was in Sacramento. So the next evolution was I wanted to get my wife closer to her family. So I went and looked at all of the horse facilities within a 30-mile radius of her family and found some that were underutilized. Then I put together a business plan and a model of how they can make more money with their facility. I went to them and I said, here's how you guys could do much better than you're doing now. Here's the map. Just follow it and you'll do fine. You can have this for free, or you can bring me on and take a percentage of my earnings and not have to worry about putting this plan together because I can execute it flawlessly. And that worked. And I was able to walk onto a 300-acre facility in the middle of Sacramento and bring my wife closer to her family. Later, I was able to acquire this was a county-owned facility, and was able to acquire the full contract for it. Then a little bit later in our journey, my wife wanted to be even closer, and she mentioned how it would be amazing if she could have a winery. And so I contracted with a winery and built a winery horse ranch for her.
And where is that?
This is a progression. And through this, I no longer have the first business, which was the one where I packed in for wilderness kids camps and hunting trips. I transitioned over to the facility in Sacramento, and then again, fail forward. I lost this facility. I built it up. I had over a dozen employees. It was going really well.
The one in Sacramento, the county owned.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then and shortly after COVID, we transitioned from that to the winery. Then the winery was going well, but I wasn't satisfied with the partnerships that I had. So I transitioned that one to where I'm at now, which we just purchased this facility and probably about 6 months ago. It's in the San Francisco area. It's right on the coast, just a few minutes away from the San Francisco Zoo. It is, I mean, the most beautiful opportunity in a lifetime for me.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And you know, you just went up to these folks and said, hey, here's how you can make a lot more money. And if you don't want to do it, just let me do it for you. That's freaking awesome, you know, to be able to do that. And then again, with a winery, you went to an existing winery, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It was already an existing winery. And I painted a picture of how it could be something grander. And with that process, I was able to get a contract signed. This facility that I have now is the only one that I've owned. Everything right. before this was through good negotiations and appropriate business structures and good contracts. So
I like it. I think the military, the veterans free rides, that's a fantastic initiative that you're doing. I think it's obvious how you came up with the idea, but what impact have you seen it to have on veterans who come to your facility and ride?
You say it's obvious of why I do it, but actually, the way that it came about was there was this gentleman named Michael, and I was at the VA, and he was there throwing a fit because he wanted the VA to drive him home, which is something that they typically do. But they were, I guess, the shuttle or whatever was happening. He missed it, whatever. So I overheard it, and I overheard that he was close to where my horse facility was in Sacramento. And I said, hey, if you can wait a little bit, I'll take you home. And so I was driving this guy home, and he started telling me about his story. And I was just thinking to myself, like, this guy needs horses. Right. I think horses could help him. But, you know, how do you say that? So I was just like, hey, I need to go to the ranch. It's really close to where you live. If you don't mind, we could stop by there for a minute. I can take care of a few things, and then I'll take you home. He's like, ranch? What? Okay, cool. Yeah. I got him there. I got my employees to put him on a horse and take him for a ride. He came back from that. I'm like, hey, I'll take you home. I hope that was fun. He's like, yeah, is there any way I can stay for a little bit? I was like, yeah, sure. So he stayed till the end of the day. And then when I took him home, he's like, hey, is there any way I can come back tomorrow? I was like, huh, yeah, sure, you can. He came back, and then he came back every single day for like months. And then after a few months, he told me that he was going to go home and kill himself that day that I took him. Like, he was, the horse thing saved his life, or at least prolonged it. Later, he did take his life years later, and it's very unfortunate. And I was thinking when that happened was, I wish that I could have kept him around the horses. And that was the initial start of, you know what? I'm just going to let veterans ride for free. I'm going to cut the red tape. And the reason that I do that, instead of doing a 501c3 and making this a full, you know, therapy program, which would be an amazing thing for me to do, and I maybe someday will, the problem with that is I personally never would have gone to get help. And looking back, reflecting on where I was at the time that the horses helped me, I absolutely needed help. And the horses were an outlet for me to get therapy. But I was in a position back then where I was too strong of a guy, quote unquote, to go get the help that I possibly needed, nor did I think I was somebody who needed help. And so I never would have went and sought after help. But the horses made a huge impact and completely changed my life. This Michael character, he was every bit the scary, big veteran looking guy that you would think is totally tough and, you know, tough as nails and would not need help, nor do you think he would get it. And he got help through the horses that he never would have sought after either. And again, this has happened over and over and over and over again. The people that are coming out and that are staying with the horses are the kind of people that typically aren't going to go seeking help, but just they need it. So that was why I started that. I was like, veterans are going to ride for free. No red tape. Just prove that you're a veteran. Come out and ride. And maybe if you get lucky, you might get some help out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Therapeutic power of horseback riding. Yeah. Thanks for sharing all that. That's awesome. awning, operating a stable, that's no small feat. So can you share some challenges you faced, how your military background may have prepared you to handle that?
There's tons of challenges, and something about entrepreneurship and horsemanship is like you become a better problem solver the better you get at both of those. And that facility that I had in Sacramento, that, like I said, I had a lot of employees there, and there was a moment where I had an injury on the ride, and that was enough for the contract to end. So the county ended the contract over that one injury. I had, you know, a huge insurance policy. I was doing everything by the book, but they wanted to change their methods and we weren't a part of it. And so I had 2 weeks to get, you know, 30 horses, employees and everything off the property. 2 weeks is not enough time to do that, by the way. You wouldn't think. And when I got the notice the first day, I jumped on a plane and flew all over the nation looking for a horse facility that I can, you know, buy and move onto. And this is when I was on the phone with different companies and different things. I was already kind of in the works on this winery, but I called him up and I was just like, hey, here's the moment. Let's make a contract happen. I'm going to move on there and I'm going to get this thing up and running, and we'll be profitable quick. We're going to get this thing off the ground in a month. And I did it. I moved all the horses over there. Got employees moved over there in 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks after that, we opened our operations. So that was, it forced me to better my situation because of a tragedy.
Yeah. How many horses do you have now?
We have 24 horses.
Wow. That's a lot of feed, a lot of daily maintenance.
Yeah. I have an amazing team. And my wife is, she's passionate about horse care, and she is the barn manager, and she's really keeps this thing structured and makes sure that the horses are on their grain regiments, and that, you know, everything is being taken care of at a very high standard. Without her, none of this would be possible. So.
Right. Right. Another question that came up is how have you seen Ocean View Stables grow and evolve in terms of community? Any heartwarming stories or transformations you'd like to share? And Lou, I looked on your site and you do, you know, rides for kids and family. So there's what do you have as far as evolving in terms of community?
Yeah. So we're fairly early on the stage at Ocean View Stables, but we've done some community outreach. We're talking with the police department here about an inner city youth program where we can have some kids come for a program and learn some horsemanship. We just did a kids camp course with a charter school locally, and that went really well. I'm putting together these leadership courses through horsemanship, and there seems to be a lot of interest in that. But most importantly, I have these horsemanship leadership courses for veterans that's free. And those seem to have a lot of feedback, positive feedback.
So for perhaps military veterans listening who might be interested in equestrian activities, but they've never tried it, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah. So for those veterans who are interested in this, it's changed a lot of people's lives, a lot of veterans' lives at my facility. And there's the healing process of horses is pretty life-changing. It makes you more calm, more clear-minded. To do well with a horse, you have to have a clear path. You have to understand what it is that you want to get done with the horse. You can't just go in there and think you're going to figure it out on the fly. You should have a clear motive of what you want to get with the horse done. And just through basic things like that, you start to clear your mind on your everyday tasks. And I would say that the days that I work with a horse, you could see a completely different, you can know if I worked with a horse and if I didn't that day, just by my demeanor. And same thing with the veterans that come out. You might come there with a lot of baggage, but to get with a horse, you got to get pretty present and you got to be right there in the moment. And you have to want to get these things done with the horse, and you get the reward of seeing instant gratification because the horse shows you exactly when you did right, when you did wrong, and when they are understanding. So it's a great way to clear your mind and put whatever is going on in your head aside for a moment and just have a better chance for a moment.
Do you have any plans to expand or replicate the Ocean View Stables model or any upcoming projects or endeavors that you're excited about?
Yeah, so we're putting pods on the back end of the property facing the ocean. And so then people will be able to stay, and we're going to do these horsemanship leadership clinics where people can stay. They can do the leadership clinic. They can do a trail ride down to the beach. We have a food truck that's going to be a cowboy style barbecue food truck. So you'll be able to stay there, have your barbecue food, do your leadership course, do your trail ride down to the beach. It's kind of like a tiny guest ranch in San Francisco. So that's the next evolution of Ocean View Stables.
Yeah, that's exciting. It makes me just want to load up the family and go visit you guys. So, all right, in closing, looking back at your journey, is there anything you'd do differently in your equestrian venture? And what advice would you give to others looking to start an equestrian business with a cause?
Yeah, I don't think I would do anything different. I'm really happy with where I'm at, and I'm more fortunate than I deserve. That being said, if I went back and told myself at the beginning of this, all of the work and all of the effort and all the time that I would have had to put in to get to where I'm at now, I don't know if I could grasp that and do it again. So sometimes you just kind of need to just jump in and do it. You can't have the plan fully evolved, because again, if I wanted to be where I'm at today and I told my past self, hey, this is the path to get there, it would seem impossible. But I did it, and I'm in a very good place, and I've done some amazing things, and it was just because I was willing to just jump in and make it happen.
And thank you so much, Zachary. So to learn more and to keep up with Zachary, visit his website at oceanviewstables.com. And yeah, we're pretty excited for you guys and look forward to seeing what else that you come up with down the pipeline.
All right. Thank you.